Israel is one of the only states was actually created for terrorism. You know, the way that the British soldiers were killed and booby-trapped and hanged by the piano string, and the fact that most of the leaders of Israel, initial leaders, were hunted by British government as a terrorist, and the fact that, you know, they occupied and terrorized the Palestinians out of their homes. This is really outrageous. But the fact that Israel sees its benefit to support this is not what I'm saying. It's actually what Netanyahu has said, is what actually other leaders of Israel have said. They said they would prefer to support these Takfiri groups, Al-Nusra and you know, other groups fighting in Syria, because their issue is with Iran, their issue is with Palestinians. The fact that Palestinians have been damaged so much through this whole episode of so-called Arab Spring or Islamic Awakening, the way that it's being hijacked, is actually a testimony to that. The fact that, you know, they support all different groups with atrocities committed by them just because they want to have conflict in the Middle East.
Okay, stay with me, sir. What about that, Ms. Gul, what Mr. Shajanet has just said? When we look at the situation in Syria, and we look at the support that the Israelis have given to the terrorists and even treating them, and actually coming from the terrorists themselves, that some of them had said that they really don't have any qualms with Israel, but they do with Iran and others. What do you make of these type of acts by the Israelis and the comments by some of the terrorists?
Israel isn't treating people in their hospitals because they want to treat terrorists. Israel has always had a generous and compassionate tradition for the last 60 years to treat people who are injured, who need special hospital treatment, and they are taken to Israel. And they do not have any choice about who they
treat. I really don't want to get off the subject, but we know that we have just witnessed yesterday a woman standing in front of Israeli troops and begging for her life, and they shot her down in cold blood. So do you not think it's a little disingenuous to talk about Israel and actually their humanitarian nature? Mr. Shajanet, you wanted to comment, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is outrageous. I mean, this is a sort of the common line that the Zionists and Zionist supporters come out with, that Israel is really a very supportive humanitarian organization or a country. Look, the Palestinians are suffering so badly that Gaza is one of the worst places for malnutrition for the children. They're being denied. Ordinary children are being denied food and medicine. And now you're talking about is out of the good heart of Israel that is bringing these takfiris who actually are slaughtering people, cutting their heads off, and they bring in them, mending them, putting them through the hospital, and then sending them back to kill more people. And this, you call this humanitarian act? This is outrageous. You should be ashamed of yourself.
Okay, let's cross over. Stay with me, both of you, Mr. Shajanet and Ms. Gul. We're going to cross over to our Facebook page. Let's take a look at what some of our viewers have had to say about this subject.
Ansarullah Resistance Group is right that the West is directly involved in Yemen genocide along with Israel, because many banned weapons used by Saudi regime against Yemen are all made in Israel and the USA. My prayers for the Yemeni army, Ansarullah fighters and Yemeni people who defend our country against Saudi and Western terrorism. Both Saudi Arabia and Yemen should solve matters peacefully. They are all Muslims and brothers. Try to become one, because we are one. Saudi Arabia is making a big mistake by trusting America and Israel. They should understand Sunni or Shia doesn't matter. Americans and Israelis will never consider Arab nations as their allies. One day, Saudi Arabia will face American and Israeli invasion, just like other Arab countries. Israelis are directly involved in the war on Yemen, and Saudis are only little slaves doing what the boss says. Saudi Arabia and Israel are two sides of the same evil coin. Al Saud and Israel are killers of the innocent people in the world. Long live Ansarullah and long live Hezbollah.
Ms. Gul, what do you make of those comments? One talked about Saudi Arabia and Israel being two sides of the same coin. Your take?
Yes, well, all of the comments are one-sided. They're all on one side. You're not going to get anybody to support Israel or the United States or Western Europe or France or Britain or Egypt. As I said before, Egypt is very worried about the situation in the Suez and the rise of terrorist groups there. So your viewers, your listeners are entitled to their opinion, but it doesn't change the picture of what we're talking about tonight. And as I said before, one of the things that I lament is that there doesn't seem to be any international leadership to stop the bloodshed in the region, not just Yemen, but in the region. So from the UN,
Why do you think that's the case?
Yesterday, I spoke at the United Nations 70th anniversary service in London, and it was a service for peace. But I have to admit today that there, on this program, that there hasn't been the leadership from the UN that we really need, or from the United States. Barack Obama was given the Nobel Peace Prize when he first became president, but all that seems to be happening, particularly in this past year, in Israel and the Palestinian territories, in Gaza, and now in Yemen and in Syria, is war, war, and more war. So that is where I lament the situation, that there doesn't seem to be any international leadership to stop the bloodshed.
Okay, let me get Mr. Shahjadeh's comment on why there isn't the international leadership. But I want to tell you, Ms. Gul, that our comments tonight happen to be all on one side, because that's what we got in. But every night it's usually many comments from the other side, and even we have comments, of course, being pro-Israel or whatever, because we really don't believe in censorship here. What about that, Mr. Shahjadeh? She said that the international community is basically not on the scene, not stopping the violence. Why is that the case?
Well, it is true that the international community is not stopping the violence. International community is allowing Israel to get away with war crime. You know, UN has already identified Israel is committing war crime over and over. And, the way that Israel is bullying everyone. I mean, you know, the discussion with Sarkozy and Obama, which was, recorded and, showed that even these leaders of the Western world are being bullied by Israeli politicians. And, and they are disgusted by that. That is the reality, is what is happening. The reality is that even Netanyahu goes all the way to United States to actually rally the politician against their own leader and own president. This is why we are not getting any solutions, because of the way that Israelis are bullying the international community and the UN. And, we are not going to get anything from that, Karina. But the fact is that ordinary people are seeing the truth. That's why over and over, overwhelming majority of people in Europe and United States are actually realizing and identifying Israel as the greatest threat to world peace. And this is a fact.
What about that, Ms. Gul? We look at the type of leverage, if you want to call it, that Tel Aviv has on Washington, and it's obvious that the United States, well, it doesn't seem anyway, that they're very independent at all, even making decisions that many Americans would say actually go against American interests. How much of a role in all of this right now? We look at the situation in the Middle East. We look at, as you said yourself, the international community being stagnant. How much of a role do you think that perhaps Israel is playing in trying to influence or influencing the United States to make sure that the status quo remains, and that's basically chaos in many countries?
I don't think, I think you completely overblow the influence Israel has. It's a tiny country. It's the size of New Jersey. The huge influence in the United States right now are the evangelical Christians and the right. And they are not particularly getting excited about what's going on in Syria or in Israel.
Well, Ms. Gould, just really quickly, since you've come in, Ms. Gould, really quickly, is it normal? Let me just throw this in. Ms. Gould, is it normal in the United States? Do you think it's normal in the United States when the president of that country does not want an individual, want to see an individual, then that the Speaker of the House can go and make this decision himself and have someone representing another country actually talking in Congress where every few words they're breaking out in applause and practically standing ovation? And it had nothing to do with the United States. Isn't that just a little
odd? Yes, because Israel is a democracy. It is admired not just by the United States, but by Canada, by European countries. It has one of the most outstanding and open press. Press condemn Netanyahu. Netanyahu every night on Israeli television, there is lively discussion. There is dissension in Israel. And the reason why Western countries support Israel is because it is an admirable and successful democracy. It's a successful country. God. It's contributing to the world. It is making the most phenomenal scientific and technological discoveries. Look. It's half the world would shut down without Israeli inventions.
All right. And so Mr. Chagere, I will let you take it away.
It outrageous for you to argue that Israel is a democracy. Israel has ethnically cleansed areas and then is trying to control it. The way Israel is occupying, illegal occupation of Israel is a fact. The fact that, you know, Palestinians are being put in prison without any right to having access to the courts. And, you know, I could go on and on. The apartheid regime of Israel is a fact, and you cannot come to a studio station and argue that this is a democracy and it's a humanitarian institution.
Okay, I am so sorry, Mrs. Chagere and Ms. Gould, I hate to interrupt this, but we are right out of time. Appreciate both of you being with us for this program, Mr. Masoud Chagere, Chairman of the Islamic Human Rights Commission out of Tehran, and Ms. Carol Gould out of London, author and political commentator. Thank you both for being with us. And as always, viewers, I appreciate you being with us and joining us for another debate. Make sure you join me right here tomorrow. I'm Marzia Hashemi, signing off for myself and the crew right here in Tehran. Thanks, and see you later.